Well, good morning. Good morning, and thank you for joining us here at Coastline Baptist Church for our last Sunday school of the year. Wow, the year has flown, and thank you for coming this morning to our adult class. We're looking forward to wrapping up the last lesson on Hebrews chapter 12. And why don't we read verses 28 and 29, and we'll enjoy wrapping up the chapter this morning. Hebrews chapter 12. Thank you for turning there. Let's read these two verses and we'll pray and we'll ask the Lord to bless our morning together and our children and teenagers as well. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 says, "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. Lord, it is precious to us because, Lord, through your word we find out all of what you have revealed to us about yourself. Father, we thank you that we are not, Lord, trapped in the thinking of our own mind or feelings about who you are. Lord, we thank you that you have, Lord, being so loving and gracious as to reveal to us, Heavenly Father, who you are, how we can be brought back to you through the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you that you have revealed to us your purpose and calling for our lives as Christians and how we may serve you acceptably. Lord, we pray that you would challenge us once again in this lesson. Lord, we thank you and praise you for this year and for this series of studies. Lord, we thank you that even though we might end the class this morning, Lord, our lives in the school of faith continue. And Lord, you have much to teach us. Lord, help us to go on and go forward for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, our series this year and during this time has been called With Christ in the School of Faith. And the Bible describes our life as Christians as a life of faith. And Hebrews chapter 12 tells us that God is busy at work teaching us about himself, changing us. And part of that process we learn in this chapter is the subject of chastening, God correcting us, God educating us through his word and through events he leads into our lives. So we are in a school as Christians. It is a school of faith. And it starts when you repent of your sins and receive the Lord Jesus as your personal Saviour. And it ends when you and I see the author and finisher of our faith. And that is the life of faith that God has called us to live. Now, as we come to the end of the chapter, once again, we are reminded that a life of faith is all about serving God. You can't live by faith and not serve God at the same time. The two go together. It's just like having a job and studying at the same time. Now, some of you had to do that when you were at school or when you were studying. You had to work in order to pay your way through school, perhaps, or you had to work in order to help out in the home. And God expects us as Christians to not just to study and take in. He wants us to serve and give out. That is the life of faith he has called us to live. And as we come to the end of these verses, we see once again that God is serious about you and I as Christians in serving him. See, this is a serious subject. Why? Because our God is a consuming fire. This description of God is a description of his holiness, his purity. You see, God is light. In him is no darkness at all. He is sinless. He is holy. He is morally pure. God, which cannot lie, the Bible tells us. He is to be revered. You know, when we think of this subject of serving, perhaps back at school we had the option of working. We said, well, it'd be helpful if I did have a job, but look, if I don't, I'll be okay. That'll be fine. And we need to understand as Christians, it's not fine with God if we do not serve. And we have to fear the Lord. You see, he has left us here in the school of faith, and every lesson he teaches you and I is to better prepare us for service. to better help us to serve Him. Now, His ways are not our ways. And we certainly will not understand every lesson He brings into our life at first. Why? Because no chastening at first seemed to be joyous. But afterward, as we see the afterward, as we understand by faith that He's doing a greater work, afterward we will see the fruit that will come from allowing God to do His will in our lives. And part of that is you and I being changed and saying more so, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, I love you, I fear you, I reverence you as God. Lord, you have a calling upon my life. What will you have me to do? And our God is a consuming fire. Now, as we begin this lesson, before we get to the first blank, just by introduction, this morning we're going to first look at the second mention of fire in the Bible. The first mention, as we looked at last week, was the fire of Sodom and Gomorrah, the judgment that fell upon the city. And we learned how Lot, if he would have led his family to Christ, if he would have led them to faith in the one true living God, and he would have basically ensured that his family alone would have received the witness they ought to have, then judgment wouldn't have fell. There would have been at least 10 righteous people within that city, but there weren't. And we learned some lessons about God's holiness and His calling upon our lives to be a witness. Now this morning we're looking at the second account of fire mentioned in the Bible, and that is the account of Abraham offering Isaac. So when we think about this truth that God is a consuming fire, the Bible tells us about the test of faith that God presented to Abraham. Now the Bible says that Isaac was not just a son, but he was a long-awaited son for Abraham and Sarah. They were now in their old age. They were beyond the ability to have a child. Long ago, they had given up that they would ever have a child of their own. Sarah physically could not possibly have a child. But God turned all that around miraculously. And can you imagine this old man finally embracing the son of his old age? And as Isaac grew, Abraham and Sarah were just all the more joyful. You know, as parents, we enjoy seeing our children grow up and those precious memories that we have and enjoy even at the present. But can you imagine Abraham as an old man? It was like he was a father and grandfather at the same time. And he was just so excited. And he loved Isaac, the son whom he lovest. And so God was going to test Abraham in an area of something, or in fact someone that he loves. Someone that perhaps had the potential of getting in between God and his servant Abraham. Now the Bible doesn't say that Abraham loved Isaac more than he loved God. But God, you see, was going to test Abraham in that area to see if Abraham was really surrendered to put God first. And that is your first blank this morning. God requires first place. When it comes to serving God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear, God deserves first place. God deserves first place. Now, Abraham understood this fact. How do we know? Well, when God said to Abraham, I want you to bring Isaac to the mount where you are to present him as a burnt offering, Abraham knew that God deserves first place. And he believed that if in fact his son died, that God was able to raise him from the dead. He knew that God had a plan for Isaac. He knew that God was in control. He was a man of faith. And I wonder what you and I would have done in that situation. You know, let's be honest, many of us would have just run in the opposite direction. Many of us would have held on to Isaac and said, no way, no one's taking away my son. But Abraham understood that God deserves first place and that God would never do anything evil or sinful. He is a consuming fire. He is holy, and God would somehow work out this situation for His glory. And so what did Abraham do? Well, he presented his son to the Lord, and as he was lifting up his hand, and as he was about to slay his own son, God said, "That's enough. Abraham, you've passed the test." Genesis chapter 22 and verse 12, God said to Abraham, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thine son, thine only son, from me." You see, Abraham understood that God deserves first place. And God tested Abraham in an area of something, or in fact, in this case, someone that had the potential of being first before God. Why? Because Abraham was just so in love with this precious gift from God that there was the potential that Isaac would have come first. Now, as Christians, we need to understand that God deserves first place. And whether you or I like it or not, He will present to us times in our life where He will test us. He will test us in those areas. Whom do you love more? Do you love your comfort more? Is your comfort getting in the area of serving me? Do you love your money more? Is your job or your money getting in the way of serving me? Now, if it is, God's going to test us in that area. And we ought to, as Christians, not be surprised if He chooses to take away that which is getting in the way of serving Him. You might say, well, that sounds pretty serious. Well, it's serious because of what God tells us about Himself. As I often say, God is not our little pal with a baseball cap on back to front down the road that we spend time with mucking around, and He's our little friend that we just play around with, and we have this idea about God that He's just like us. No, He is not. He is a holy God. He is a righteous and holy God, the creator of the universe, who spoke all things into existence, that provided salvation through the holy blood of Jesus Christ, who has called us with a holy calling, whereunto you are called. So we are called. And woe be to you and I if we say to the Lord, "Well, I'd like to serve you, but, you know, I love this more." We don't necessarily say that, but we live that. We live that. All of us have areas in our lives that are stopping us from serving God more. And what will God do? He's going to test us in those areas. He might even take something away to our dismay that will lead to His greater glory. But let me encourage you to be like Abraham. Whatever you're holding on to that's stopping you from serving God, surrender it to Him. Amen? Surrender it to God. Say, "Lord, You deserve first place. And Lord, whatever it takes, I'm going to trust in You." See, God tested Abraham. Now, what's interesting is this verse in verse 29, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29, is actually a reference to an Old Testament verse. Why don't we read Deuteronomy chapter 4? If you keep your finger there in Hebrews 12, let's turn to the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So it's the fifth book in the Bible, all the way at the front. Chapter 4. Don't worry, I'll take as long as you do to get there. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24. And here is the original statement that is repeated in Hebrews chapter 12. Notice Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24. Let's read it together on two, shall we? 1, 2. "For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God." Now, that word "jealous" does not mean sinfully jealous, envying something that someone has or envying someone. No, God is basically saying He deserves first place because of who He is. And He will not allow others to receive the glory that He deserves. So, friend, we need to look at our lives and look inwardly and ask ourselves, does God have first place in my life? Friend, He is a jealous God. And He will work in your life and mine in His perfect way to make sure He has first place. You see, the longer you and I hold on to that thing, that person, that possession, we need to understand that don't be surprised if God starts to test us in that area. Starts to say, no, I deserve first place. I bought you with a price. It's not unreasonable what God is asking. Would you agree? Now, if you and I were lost, we were not saved, we were on our way to hell, well, that would be that wouldn't be expected of God. God would not expect us to serve Him. God would not expect us to live for Him. Why? Because we are in darkness. But the Bible tells us that when He buys us, purchases us back to Himself with the greatest sacrifice, the greatest gift that the world will ever know, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, well, the only reasonable thing for you and I to do that's said in Hebrews chapter 12 is to serve Him. It's to serve Him with our whole being. And I don't know about you, but that's going to take a lifetime for me to learn, to let things go, to let myself go. We're all selfish, aren't we? You know, I want my comfort first. My comfort comes first. If witnessing is uncomfortable, I don't like that. So I'm not going to go out witnessing. Well, every time there's an opportunity to witness, guess what? God asks you and I, who's first place? Is it you? Is it your pride? Is it what people think of you? Or am I? And guess what? If you put God in that moment in first place, well, you're just going to be a witness. Amen. You're not going to worry what other people think of you. You're just going to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ and how often you and I have been surprised how that person has responded and said, yes, let me read that invitation. You know, yesterday, Brother Andy and Brother Maurice and I went down to Lower Moorabool. And look, it's just as needy area as anywhere else in Cairns. But, you know, it's a poorer area and that's fine. Everyone needs the gospel. And we ran into a gang of boys on bikes, and Brother Andy started handing out invitations. At first they didn't want to take it, and then they all ended up taking an invitation. The guy who probably was the leader of the gang told everyone to take one, and they did. So they all had invitations in their hand. They all had the gospel in their hand. And you know, we need to go out and tell people about the Lord. Not because it's comfortable, not because we want to experience situations like that. No, because He deserves first place. And everyone needs to hear the message of salvation. Christ died for sinners. That's you and I. That's the person down the road. But you see, if we don't put Him first place, we can't serve Him. That service is not acceptable to God. Whatever that may be, that's not service that's acceptable. Unless we present our bodies there's Isaac, living sacrifice, we cannot serve God. All right, let's move on. Otherwise, we'll be here all day enjoying this. All right, Roman numeral number 2. God deserves the glory. God deserves the glory. Now, if you're still there in Deuteronomy chapter 4, your blank is the word glory. As we look at this reference in the Old Testament, something very interesting comes up. You see, here is Moses speaking to the nation of Israel, looking back on an event that changed his life. And it wasn't an event that turned out well for Moses. In fact, it was a moment that Moses would never forget. You see, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, Moses describes what happened when he failed God, when his service was not acceptable to God. And this verse is found in the recounting of what event? What event do you think that might be? When Moses struck the rock in anger. Now, just a little background. Moses served God for many years. But because of the unbelief of God's people, he and Joshua and Caleb, who were the ones who believed that they could go into the promised land, they were not able to go in. They had to wander in the desert for 40 years. And God's people kept complaining. And all the murmuring and all the complaining got to Moses. And one day he got angry. Now the people were asking for water. And God said, I'll provide more water. Moses, what I want you to do is to speak to the rock. And Moses, you speak to the rock
And then water will come flowing out of the rock. But that's not what Moses did. Moses got angry. He picked up the rod of God and he whacked that rock in all of his anger, and water came flowing out. Well, God provided water because the people needed the miracle of God. People needed water. But that was a day that Moses would remember for the rest of his life. You see, instead of speaking at the rock, and that sounds like a small thing, he hid it. Now, what's the big deal? Well, the consequence of Moses' disobedience was that he was not allowed to enter into the promised land. You see, God deserves all the glory, and he will not share his glory with others. And Moses, you might say, well, why was it such a big deal? Why was the cost of disobedience so great? It was because from what Moses did, it was he that received the glory. See, if he would have spoken to the rock, it would have been very obvious that it was God that did the miracle. Would you agree? Because Moses said he would have just spoken and the water would have flowed out and everyone would have said, praise the Lord. God used Moses, but it's God that provided the water. But Moses, by smiting the rock, he's the one that received the glory. People would have said, well, look at Moses. What a great leader we have. What a great shepherd we have. What a great man he is. What a great person we have to lead us. Moses. See, Moses didn't give God the glory. Moses said to the people, in fact, these words, before he smote the rock, he said, must Aaron and I fetch you water out of this rock? Must we do this? And that when he whacked the rock, the water came out. But Moses was the one, wasn't he? Moses was the one who faced the consequence of disobedience. Why? Because our God is a consuming fire. He deserves the glory. He deserves the glory. And here we see in this example of Moses the cost of disobedience. And it's very high. Why? Because God is high and holy. You see, we need to be careful how we live our lives as Christians, don't we? See, God is not playing games with us. He's not playing games with the Christians. Sometimes we play games with God. And we pretend we're doing God's will when really it's only our will. And we say, well, it's God's because I say it is. Well, just saying it's God's will doesn't mean it's his will. It must be his plan and purpose. And the cost of disobedience with Moses was very high. It was very high. In fact, it was just one point in his life that he failed. And the cost was high. Doesn't that tell us something about the holiness of God? Now, Moses didn't lose his salvation. Moses died, he went to be with God, which was much greater than entering into Canaan land. Amen. Canaan is not a picture of heaven. Canaan is a picture of the spiritual battle in the believer's life. But the moment Moses died, he went to be with the Lord. And don't miss it, in the New Testament, who do we find on the Mount Transfiguration in the promised land? His feet set on the land of Canaan, the promised land. Well, it was Moses. There he was. So God's promise was fulfilled in his life. Perhaps not then. But there is a cost, a high cost to disobedience. Our God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. And Moses learned a lesson from painful experience. But he was careful to retell it to the people. Say, hey, this is what happened. This is why I cannot enter in. I learned my lesson. Don't you go forth and serve God without fear, without reverence. God deserves the glory. Revelation chapter 4 verse 11, if it's in your notes there, the Bible says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. They were created. You see, the Lord deserves the glory. I trust you're here this morning because you have a love and reverence for the Lord and a desire to serve him. I trust that this is what has brought you here. Friends, our God has a job for us to do. And we are to serve him acceptably. We are to serve him in a way not that it suits us, but in a way that suits and pleases God. And that's the point of these final concluding verses. Let me ask you this morning, your achievements, your efforts in your life, that which you invest most time in, are they bringing you glory or are they bringing God glory? Are they bringing him honour in the workplace, in your home, that which you invest your time in the most? Are you serving God or are you receiving the glory? You know, it's easy to get a pat on the back by your boss at work and get a raise. It's easy for that to happen and not say, hey, I thank God for what? For the job he's given me. I thank God for blessing me like Joseph of old, who has allowed me to prosper in this place. I thank God for the children that I have. And yes, though they physically were given to me, they are a gift from God. He is the creator, amen. Without the creator, there would be no creation. We are not little gods in and of ourselves. No, he is the Lord. And we are to give him glory and praise and thanks and to serve him. If he is first place and we have his glory in mind, then we will serve him acceptably. We will not fall into costly consequences. Moses learned. And I trust that there have been times in your life, that there have been in mine, that we've learned some lessons. Amen. Now that's part of the school of faith. Moses was in the school of faith. Okay, you can't lose your salvation. Once you're saved, you're always saved. But God teaches us some lessons. Why? For our greater growth and his glory. You know, Moses ended his life glorifying God, didn't he? What wonderful verses at the end of the life of Moses that showed us he was a man that brought God the glory. But he learned some lessons. So may you and I learn from the lessons that God teaches us in the school of faith. Now lastly, God wants us to graduate with honours. Now, I'm not sure which word is the blank there in your notes.
Graduate.
God wants us to graduate with honours. And that is what God's talking about, is the school of faith, our life as Christians. And we come back to the verse that we began in the first lesson of this year, verse 39, Hebrews 11. And these all, in Hebrews 11, having obtained a good report through faith. You see, every single one of them graduated with honours from the school of faith. Though they were not perfect, though they had failings and fallings and sin in their life, they got back up, they trusted God, they ran the race of faith, and they all, the Bible says, notice in verse 39, obtained a good report. These all, friends, that includes Samson. That includes Jephthah, that includes Barak, all the ones at the end of the list. That includes David, that includes Daniel. They're all included. Wow, what an amazing truth. That they obtained a good report, how? Through faith. Not because they were perfect, but because they had faith in God and they served God. Friend, God has called us to a life of service. And one day, and this is an interesting thought, God is a consuming fire. One day our works as Christians will be tested by what? By fire. Now, however you want to interpret that, the fire of the Word of God, God's Word is like a fire. The fire of God's holiness, the Bible speaks of a literal burning of our works. If our works are that which is worthy, that gave God the glory, that put God first, guess what? Like gold, silver and precious stones, they will not burn up in the flames of fire. They will remain for eternity to give glory to God. But if our works are just wood, hay and stubble, like the dry grass just out here, how quickly do you think that might burn if a match was lit? You know, there have been fires all around Cairns recently, haven't there? Everything is so dry. And friend, if your life and mine is just about us and me, myself and I, and if I'm just getting the glory myself from what I'm doing, when those works are tested, before God's holiness, friend, they will burn up in an instant. We'll have nothing to show for our life in the school of faith. We'll have nothing to show on graduation day to give God the glory. Guess what? That's not His plan. Amen? That's a possibility. But that's not His plan for us as a Christian. He wants to reward us. And all we need to do is put Him first, give Him the glory, and we will graduate, amen, with a good report. That's all. Serve the Lord. Put Him first. Even if that means a breaking, a removing of things that are in the way. Amen? For our God is a consuming fire. As we end, let me encourage you that God never makes a mistake. Amen? He never makes a mistake. He knew exactly what He was doing when He put you, my friend, into the school of faith. He knows what you need. He knows what I need. Why? Because He is almighty, all-knowing, all-perfect, all-wise, infinite God. He knows what we need in the school of faith. He has custom designed your education. What a comfort that is, isn't it? You know, I had teachers that I was wondering, should they even be a teacher? Are they just teaching because they couldn't get any other job? Well, some of them, that was true. But then there were others that really helped me to learn. Why? Because they loved their students. They loved what they were doing. They knew that there was a goal in mind, and it wasn't about their own position or self-esteem. It was about investing their lives in these students. And you know, God loves us more than we can possibly know. And He has designed your curriculum, customized it just for you and just for me to grow in the school of faith and to graduate with honors. You and I just simply need to be like Abraham of old and say, yes, Lord. Lord, You are first place. And Lord, I know You're testing me in this area. Lord, I give it to You. And though we might fail as Moses of old at times, thank God we can continue to go forward, amen, and glorify the Lord. We can continue and we can graduate with a good report. Sometimes you will struggle. Sometimes you will suffer. Sometimes those seasons seem that like they will never end. Is that right? And you think, I don't know if I'm going to get out of this cloud of this season of chastening, this season of suffering. And God says, don't worry. One day there's a graduation day. And everything is heading towards that point. We have a kingdom which cannot be moved. Our author and finisher of our faith is coming. And it will be worth it to stay in the race. Christian, don't drop out of the race. Amen? Even if it means the breaking of your pride and mine. To say, hey, I was wrong. You know, I was wrong. That needs to go. That thought, that possession, that person needs to go. Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you run the race with patience and with faith, friend, you will cross the finish line. Glorifying God. And not only that, you will join the list of these in Hebrews chapter 11. Of those who received a good report through faith. And you will be an example to some of the young children who are out the back this morning. Of those who have lived by faith. Amen. I hope you've enjoyed this series as I have, with Christ and the school of faith. Friend, we need to endure. Don't give up. Amen. Don't give up. He deserves the glory. Now, it's easier said than done. I know. It is. Easier to say than to do. But it's in the doing of it, in the running of the race, that we will experience the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. Many, many blessings along the path, not just at the end, but all the way to the finish line for the child of God.